soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. You seek performance, you find luxury at Advantage BMW in Midtown. You heard my talk about getting in an X5 and during the pandemic driving all the way to New Jersey. It was the most amazing drive, amazing time. Advantage BMW Midtown, they won't just offer excellence. It is expected. Service center is dedicated to putting your time first. The vehicle experts, well, they can help you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. It's your hometown Advantage. Go down to San Jacinto and Gray. It's on the way to PNC Stadium. And by the way, you go down there, you ask for Justin or you ask for Steven. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. They present our next interview. He is the interim coach of the Houston Dynamo. 2-1-1 right now, coming off a wonderful result at Nashville on the road. He is Kenny Bundy. Kenny, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. How are you?
Very good. All right. So just give us a minute synopsis now that you've had some time to process an excellent result at Nashville.
Yeah, it's like I said, post game, I think the execution of the plan from the players, it was unbelievable. It was exactly what we had put in front of them throughout the week. And obviously a plan is only as good as the execution on the weekend. And, you know, I was really, really, really happy with a lot of the different lines throughout the team. But to go into an environment like that, and it was fan appreciation night, so it was packed. There were light shows. There were fireworks before the game. Everything was a production. And sometimes on the road, that can be really difficult. And I thought we handled it really well.
We mentioned on the broadcast that you took the crowd out of it. It seemed like that through our feed, obviously not in the stadium. Did it seem like that to you on the bench?
Yeah, we did that multiple times. I think one of the key moments, and I spoke to the guys about it today because we were off yesterday. There was a period in the second half where we sustained possession for 2 or 3 minutes. And we did that, I think, three times. It killed the momentum that they might have had for that late push. They scored the late goal. But one of the factors for us going into it was our biggest defensive key was how good we were going to be with the ball. So could we nullify any of their attacking transition? And there were moments in the second half where it didn't get that quiet, but it nullified the power that the fans can bring to a game. So I was extremely happy with that.
All right. That's something interesting you just brought up, because I think sometimes we forget your best defense is having the ball. We've heard Tab Ramos in the past. We've heard Paulo Nagamura. We've heard everybody in the past, Wilmer Cabrera, all talk about improved possession. How do you think you got improved possession in this game? Because it is it's a controlling mechanism. You can take crowds out of the game, all the other great benefits that come with it.
Yeah, possession for me, and I'm only going to speak for me individually, it has to have a purpose, and the purpose can be a bunch of different things. But for us, it's always to score goals. Now that changes based on the team that you play. So the way that we break it down for the group is obviously what numerical superiority do we have in what areas of the field. So we try and make sure that the back four and the goalkeeper understand how they're going to press with their front players so that we know where the free man's going to be. We know that in the midfield, we knew that it was going to be 3v2 in the midfield. And we knew that if we did win that 3v2 battle, that one of the center backs would step in and there'd be space in behind, right? And we knew that we would be able to kill the width, that we would be able to create 2v1s in the width. So when we talk about possession, it's about how do we advance the ball to score the goals. Now, when you're 2-0 up at halftime, the main message was, look, we play this game the way that we played the first half. If we get the third one, great. But the one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to give them momentum by being sloppy or doing different things. I think sometimes you can go up 2 goals and you can just start knocking it long and saying, okay, will defend, but that's a very dangerous thing to do with a team like Nashville. So for us, it's a lot about finding the free player. So all of our possession is built around finding the free player. When we find that, it's about what can we do to get in behind them. One of the keys was we understood that they were going to drop their back four really quickly if we did break that front four. And the other thing is it's very hard to get over the top of them. So making sure that we were patient. And there were moments in the game where I cannot tell you the way the staff put together this plan and the way it was executed, where we broke their front four. We started to attack. They sat in their block of six. We got into the width and we didn't rush anything. We didn't just play an aimless cross into Zimmerman or Romney to head out and then them in transition. We really kept it. We tried to move the ball to the other side. And a lot of times we would get in those areas and then we would potentially go back to Steve, but then that would force the front four again to come and press us. So then we could find space again. So everybody talks about possession, but the purpose of the possession for me is the most important thing.
Going back to your goalkeeper like that, I think sometimes people forget in the modern game, they're so aggressive to want to get the ball forward that going backwards is a means of ultimately going forward, right?
It's crazy because when you talk about the numbers situations to a team, you can put it on the board and say, okay, what do you guys see? And a lot of players see, okay, well, it's the back four and our number six against front three. And like, well, you're missing a player. Right? You're not adding the goalkeeper in there. And sometimes the goalkeeper is the free man facing forward. Like sometimes the goalkeeper is the player when we, and Steve's excellent at this. We play back to Steve, they press with four, and then he finds the outside back over the four. And now we're out again. And I think that that's something that, you know, the team, especially when you have a player like Steve that's comfortable with his feet, you can really exploit.
You guys were efficient. We're talking to Kenny Bundy, interim head coach of the Houston Dynamo. LA Galaxy in town, final game of the year on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a minute with Kenny. But you did mention to me in an interview before, which was great, you said there was a great chance that you thought, and you prepared for this, that Nashville would come out aggressive. They okay. did. It was a little bit against their nature. I found that very interesting because ultimately I saw you flip the game on them. And you turned them into the pressing team, and that was obviously aided by getting the game's first goal.
Yeah, I got asked the question, you know, was I surprised at their adjustments or lack of adjustments when we were up 2-0? And I said, you know, again, I'm not surprised. It's a tough situation to be in, but we prepared in case they came and pressed us. I think the one thing that is a bit interesting right now is people, I think, they don't really know how to play us because there's not a huge body of work. They can look back 10 games, but, you know, I think what they've seen from, you know, Kansas to New England to LAFC to then now Nashville, it's been a progression. So I don't really know if teams have a real clear idea of how to exploit us right now or where we're going to try to exploit them. So I had a feeling that they might come and put pressure on us, especially a home, you know, big crowd, chance for a home playoff game. I thought they might want to jump on the game early, and they tried. And obviously getting the first goal and the way that we got the first goal, it's a momentum shifter. And this league, when you can grasp momentum and you can do that twice in one half, you have a really good chance to win.
So I'm thinking about that, and I say Nashville's best in a lower block in transition. That's their bread and butter. That's their game. I'm surprised in some ways they came out a little less disciplined going after it like that with the risk of giving up the game's first goal. And by the way, they've done that a lot of times at home. I think they had done that six times prior going into this game. So basically you flipped it on them. You turned them into a pressing team, which is not necessarily their game. And you became the team that was operating out of more of a lower block. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we knew, you know, one of the big points going into the game was when we get our moments to press and look at our second goal, right? The timing of Darwin Quintero to go and press the center back. That couldn't have been timed more perfectly because we were set in, we were organized, we were frustrating them. And then as that ball goes back to the center back, that's the moment in organization we want to go and put pressure, and it forces a mistake.
It was a lazy ball too.
It was, yeah. And again, I think the timing of that is so important because it catches everybody off guard, because a lot of teams, they sit in the lower block and they want to just shift and shift and shift and absorb pressure. And our whole point is, if we get into a lower block, it's the timing of us to put that intense pressure on the ball. The one thing I have to say is how incredibly proud I am of the group to buy into the fact that when they do break, it's getting numbers back behind. So it's the work that I don't think gets credited enough. And then we actually trained and we showed, and there's two clips that I showed today where we created graphics that showed us turning the ball over and the reaction that we had to have to nullify their quick counters. And there's two clips where we turn the ball over, Darwin strips one of the balls, and then Coco does the other one. But if you look at the game, when we got everybody behind the ball, we made the play predictable. And the back four was excellent because we knew when we made it predictable, they were going to go long and try to pick up second balls. And how many times Teenage and Tim were able to step in front of players and win the ball and turn the game back in our half.
All right, so that was part one with Kenny Bundy. He'll remain with us. We'll have him on in the next segment when we come back. Our newest sponsor is Cobo Zanito. In the shadows of both PNC Stadium and Minute Maid Park, Cobos is owned by H-Town Proud's Raul Jacobo. It's a great open space, clean as a whistle inside. You could eat off the floor, frankly. Now, we're going to have an event there after our final game. Eddie Robinson and I will make our final call on regional TV, final game of the year for Dynamo Galaxy. And our TV crew and everybody going to go over to Cobos. You're welcome to come. It's Cobos in Edo. Now, let's talk a little bit about food and drink. The best in smoked barbecue quesadillas, birria quesadillas, smoked pork belly, a variety of cocktails, and a really large beer selection. Get over there. They're always running specials. Get in and watch on the 14 crystal clear monitors, the Dynamo Dash, Astros, Rockets, Texans, and all your international soccer. Ask for soccer on the monitor, and Raul will get it on for you. It's Cobos in Edo. All right, stay with us when we come back. Part two with Houston Dynamo interim manager Kenny Bundy.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here as we continue on tonight. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Hey, by the way, a reminder here. Our show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All you got to do is give them a call. They're personal injury attorneys. John and his firm, responsible for getting the game of soccer on the air here. You call them at 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They'll take your case 24-7. They're going to work for you. Whether you're getting a car, boat, motorcycle, whatever type of accident it is, you need representation. You need the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com in Houston, and DaspitLawAustin.com on our sister show on Horn FM in Austin, Texas, Soccer Matters. All right, let's get into part two here with Kenny Bundy, the Houston Dynamo interim manager. All right, more discussion with the general manager, Pat Onstad, and Asher Mendelson. There's an awful lot of people out there that are saying Bundy for coach. I mean, I think it's a great thing. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this multiple times. You know, my job is to control what I can control, which is right now making sure we end the season the way that we want. And I think when I was asked to do this and that initial first week, I don't know if the expectations that I was putting out there to the fans and maybe the media were realistic. I think people might have thought, okay, this guy's coming in and he's saying, hey, we want to do well in these last five games. We want to change the narrative of the team. And we still have a really important week, but I think we've started to do that. I know for a fact we've changed the narrative to certain players. That we've shown that certain players utilized in a certain way, it can be really good in this league, and they have been really good in this league.
Give us an example.
You know, I'll be brutally honest. I think Corey Baird for a while was absolutely he was getting a really, he was given a hard time. I'll put it that, and that's nicely. He was given a hard time for some of the things that the team was doing. I think what we've shown is that Corey Baird is an unbelievable player in this league with a very interesting skill set, but everybody needs to be on the same page with those things. I think, for instance, we saw Coco and Hector Herrera play together. I think for a long time, there was a question, can they play together? Or how are you going to play together? And we saw in the second half where they can be extremely efficient, not only with the ball, but when you want to build out and you want to play and you want to keep possession. And I think the team in general, like the fight and the grit, and we're up 2-0. We concede with a minute left in the 96th minute, and we get the result, right? I think the grittiness and the way this team is willing to work, I think that's what we've changed the narrative to. Okay, this group can do it. There's a lot of key pieces in this. So for me, that's what I'm happy about.
Okay, so, but, and I know I've mentioned this to you before, and this is not disrespectful, but aren't there some artificial stimulus here? Contracts, small window. You know, just because Coco and Hector played together well, that's definitely positive. It doesn't mean that can't platform, but it also doesn't mean it's definitive either, right?
Right. I mean, and you could say that about a lot of things in the season. I mean, I'm not naive to the fact that when there's a coaching change, and obviously, you know, I believe in the energy that I bring and what the staff is doing and the information that we're giving. I believe in that. But at the same time, it's all we have. Right. So all I can do is evaluate what's going on right now.
Based on the parameters of what you got. I get that 100%.
Yeah. And everything you've just said is 100% true. It's just, but it's the only thing that I can evaluate right now. And so for me, you know, looking to the future or looking to the past, it loses what I should be doing, which is looking to LA Galaxy on Sunday. The last game of the season. And I've lived the last 4 weeks like that. You know, I'm going to take every day as the most important part of my day is the training session. The most important part of my day after that is making sure that the players are taken care of. And then we as a staff really preparing for what's coming forward.
You're doing a great job. I'm impressed with everything you're doing. I think a lot of people are. And if I get back to Pat and Asher, do you talk to them? Do you review things after games with them, or are they kind of leaving you alone?
No. We talk on a daily basis. I mean, I think, look, I'm a very collaborative person. I've said this to you before. For me, if everything revolves around what I see or what I think, that scares me, because I like people to have opinions, because everybody sees something different. Now, when push comes to shove, there's one person that needs to make the final decision, and that's me. So from the roster to the 20-man roster to who starts to, you know, what training exercises we're going to do, all of those decisions fall on me. But I don't think it's healthy to not bring in a group of people that have a lot of experience and get feedback. It helps shapes the way we do things. It helps shape the way we do things. I think every day we talk, I'll be honest, you know, we're all in these meetings together. I also believe that it's really important that I understand as much of the club as I can, because, you know, from the physical side to the video side to the nutrition side, it's important that we all have an understanding of what's going on. So it's been fun. That's because there is a lot of collaboration
too, right? That's very different. All those additional resources, I think you've said in a prior interview with me, that's not necessarily what you get at Dynamo 2, right? So you have to spend and divvy up your time, you know, in other areas. Maybe it's more video, maybe it's more data, maybe it's more medical, whatever it is, right?
Absolutely. And the great thing is with resources, it means you can dive deeper into player welfare and player care and player understanding and teaching players. And a great thing about having all of these resources is there's so many areas that maybe if you don't have those, you can't develop guys. Look at some of the players. Like, we've got guys that are new to the country. They're new to maybe this professional environment. You know, they might not truly understand certain things that are off the field. They might not have experienced certain things. They might have a language barrier that's making it difficult for them outside of the club. You know, having the people that we have and being able to say, okay, are we taking care of this? Are we taking care of this? Then we can really see these players grow. So it is new, but it's something that I think is in my wheelhouse where I like having people around. I like communicating with people. As you know, we could talk forever. And that's such a great thing, because when people sense that, then they're more open to give feedback. They're more open to share maybe ideas that can improve things, which is part of what the club is doing and needs to always be doing, which is evaluating critically what we can do better.
Anybody joining us, interim manager, he's 2-1-1 Dynamo, coming off an excellent win at Nashville. They beat Nashville in both their games this year. They will take on the LA Galaxy. The Galaxy have already qualified. Before we get to the Galaxy, player welfare, when you said that, I just was kind of thinking back when I was playing professional soccer. That would be a discussion in itself, but and care. But Hector Herrera, I mean, does he come in with a big entourage? I mean, what about him in player welfare and care? How much help does he need with all of his experience? And, you know, yes. Does he have an entourage? Does he have a couple of layers of people around him that you also have to deal with?
No, Hector's fantastic. I mean, again, I think one of the greatest things about him is his experience and the people he's played for and the environments he's played in and the games he's played in. You know, he comes in every day with a smile on his face. He's got a group of guys that, you know, obviously he connects with, and in the team environment, he's on the field and he's in the rondos. And it's great to work with a player like that. And I think it's important for the fans to know, like, he's as normal a human being as we have, right? Like he is in it, and it's such a great thing to have a player like that with his experience around the club. Obviously it's been an interesting run for him, obviously not being able to play as many minutes as he would like. You know, you see when these young guys come in with Hector, and you, like, Beto's a prime example. You know, first year MLS pro jumps in, they connect, they, you know, and so he's really done a great job. No, he's a perfect guy to have in the group. And he came in the middle of the season, right? So it's different. But no, I'm really happy with the way Hector's been. And you know, we were talking in Nashville, obviously, you know, we talk about family. We talk about how he's adjusted to Houston. We talk about restaurants, you know, and it's the same that you have with every other player.
Kenny Bundy joining us. Kenny, listen, as always, we thank you very much for all your time, your insight. Best of luck against L.A. to wrap things up, and we would like to get you back on the show maybe next week if you got time to kind of put a cap on the season and the five games with you in charge.
Absolutely. Anytime, Glenn.
All right. That's Kenny Bundy. Dynamo taking on the L.A. Galaxy. Last game of the season. You're going to want to get down there. On a side note, last game for both Eddie Robinson and I after 11 years. That's our last regional broadcast as MLS will switch over to being involved with Apple. So that's something else that's happening on Sunday. Not as big a deal as the Dynamo Galaxy, but it is a little bit of part of history with TV changing. All right, we'll take a break here. As we go to break here, I want to remind you about Lamont Brands. LamontBrands.com. You get your Soccer Matters t-shirt. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation. It's a 501c charity, provides scholarships to cancer patients. We create awareness, fundraising. We've been doing that on Soccer Matters ever since its existence. Our charity of choice has always been in and around pediatric cancer. So LamontBrands.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up tonight. Juan Carlos Amoros, the head coach of the Houston Dash, who are playoff bound, next.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night here. And before we get into it, we want to thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Com. They're the presenting sponsors of the show. They've been getting us on the air for years. They're going to be the sponsor of all our live World Cup shows as well once the World Cup from Qatar gets underway. So John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, they'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. By the way, it's DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual, 713-322-HERTZ. 713-322-HERTZ. So a big thank you to John and the Daspit Law Firm for all the soccer coverage that we're able to give because of their presenting sponsorship. All right, big news. Houston Dash in the playoffs for the first time ever. Architect and engineer of this was Juan Carlos Amorós, the interim manager. They will play October 16th at 4 p.m. It's the NWSL quarterfinals. So a tip-off here. You win this game, you're in the semifinals. You're closer and closer to getting into a championship match. It's the first ever playoffs. You get your tickets, HoustonDash.com. They have $7 tickets there. The idea here is to really get a lot of home support for the Dash, Kansas City Current, again, October 16th, 4 p.m. He is the interim head coach. He is Juan Carlos Amorós. He joins us now. Juan Carlos, first of all, congratulations. Exciting times for the Dash.
Thank you, Glenn. Very, very excited to finally be able to talk to you once we are in the playoffs, no?
Was it a bit of a relief to finally get in? I mean, we took it down to the wire here. The league was so competitive. It must have been a big relief.
Yeah, obviously, we worked extremely hard to be able to achieve this for the first time in club history, but not last. And then on Friday night, finally, I think North Carolina drew with San Diego, so we were in, but we still really wanted to win that game, and that didn't affect the game plan. We needed to win and wait for other scores to see if we could get like that home game, and in the end we won. Very difficult game against Washington, and the other scores went our way, so we are playing at home. We finished fourth, and we can't wait to welcome Houston as a whole in that game against KC Current.
Juan Carlos Amorós, 6-2-3 since taking over as the interim manager. In a very simple way, what were the biggest changes you feel you made to get this team going in a different direction? And I know there were good things done before you as well, but to keep accelerating this forward, and also I would say just I see a different spirit in the players now than I've seen over the years.
Well, I think creating or continuing to create, you know, that team environment, that team mentality, that for me is key. That we're not a club, we're not a team that is, you know, focused on only one player. We are a team, and we need to behave as one, and we need to compete and win as one team. And to do that, then you need every player needs to understand what's the role and responsibilities in the game plans, and they really buy into it. The six moments of the game, how we normally like to divide it, like in transitions, offensive, defensively, attacking, defending, set pieces, and then managing games. And the girls have been fantastic. The staff have been fantastic. The club has been really helping, and finally, he kind of came together, a good record since I landed. And now, as you said, we're very, very close to achieve something even bigger. So we are working to make sure that this journey doesn't stop here on October 16th.
4 o'clock, October 16th, HoustonDash.com. That's where you get your tickets. Playoffs, first ever playoffs for the Houston Dash. This is a big deal. And again, it's October 16th, 4 p.m., HoustonDash.com for your tickets. All right. You know, I always hear about team bonding and coaches and how you get everybody centralized on singular ideas because you all have to work as one, as you mentioned. Yet you do want players in the course of moments and games to be a little bit selfish, right? You want your goal scorers to be a little bit selfish. When it comes to team bonding, what are some of the mechanisms you use to pull people together?
Well, I think that sometimes to pull people together, you need to listen to people. So I try to really listen to them. We've got like a group of captains that is very experienced. We have regular meetings with them that they, you know, like basically speak up for the team to make sure that we are all pushing in the same direction. Obviously, the time of the season that we are in is maybe less around doing team bonding activities, as we probably maybe more commonly known, and it's more about making sure that everyone is as fresh as they can be, because it's obviously the end of the season, and that we're doing things in a way that everyone is comfortable, that everyone is happy, and that when we step onto that pitch, everyone is ready to die for a badge. No, I think that together with the people that we have, because I think that the group of people, that, because they are players, we are a staff, there's different roles within the team, but we are all people, and I think everyone understands what it means to be in a team, and everyone understands what it means to be putting yourself on the side a little bit and sacrifice yourself a little bit for the team. And luckily, that together with the amazing quality some of our players have offensively and defensively is made us a playoff team, no?
Juan Carlos Zamoros, 6-2-3 since being the interim manager of the Houston Dash. The team, visibly to me, has become a more attack-oriented team. It does look like, to me, that the players seem to be enjoying the game more than I've ever seen them over the course of the history of the club. That's just my judgment. That's through my lens. How important is it to play in a way that your players are excited to play the way that you are looking at this team?
Oh, for me, that's how I understand football. At the end of the day, we are a performance.
You are Spanish, after all, right? So yeah, it's got to be something good.
I'm Spanish, so I understand football. For me, really, I understand football as an art and as a as a way of entertaining people and doing that while winning. And in my philosophy, like, obviously there is some risks, but there is also some rewards, and I want the players, as you said, to be excited to go on the pitch and trusting on themselves. It doesn't matter who we play. Like, I want us to be the team that is the dominant team on every aspect, and the players that maybe they've been undervalued, or they've been like maybe some the media or the fans, they never thought that, oh, they are out, and they've been written off from the start, and they've proven against every team that they can compete and that they can win. I think, I don't have the data in front of me, but I think we've beaten every team in the league this season, wherever I was here or before that, which I think it is so, I know when we haven't beaten San Diego, now that I said that, but it's been a very competitive, environment where they know they can beat anyone, that they can go out there and perform, that they can excite the fans. And that's what we want to be as a club. We want to ignite fans, ignite passion into our fans. So if that can be matched with the playing style and the people that come to watch is excited, I think that's my target.
Ebony Salmon's got 9 goals in 12 games. This is a player you were very familiar with. You wanted her here. A lot of times players, and I'm not telling you anything, help to define your tactics. Does she got to carry you over these couple of games? I mean, I hear all the MLS coaches going, hey, our leading goal scorers, they got to carry us in the playoffs. Do you feel that way?
Well, not really. Like, Ebony needs to do her job, but her job is not only like scoring the goals. She needs to work defensively. She needs to, keep defenders busy. Like, we saw this week, it was Marisa and Amon Indien is an own goal, but it's Prince really the one getting the header. So, Ebony is developing a lot of her game in tight spaces, because we know that she's really good in when there is a space. So now teams don't want to give us that space, but they don't give us that space. Then we go their tools. No, we go Maria, we go Prince, we go Sophie, Marisa, who are maybe players that maybe more players to go 1v1 or players to play in tight areas. So what you need as a team is to have a good mixture of different abilities and different characters, and everyone brings stuff different to the table, and luckily, things seems to be clicking together. I think that every game we've played, we've had more chances than the opposition. We have had more the ball. We have had, and then those are the things you can control. Then if there is moments of brilliance where the ball goes in the back of the net, then great. The other days, maybe we probably created more chances than what we've scored, but that's what you know as well as me, Glenn, that's football sometimes when the ball doesn't go in. So it's a question of looking at the overall thing and analyze to make sure that the next game is even better. So that's what we're doing at the moment.
Juan Carlos Amoro is joining us here again, October 16th, 4 o'clock, Houston-Dash.com, $7 tickets. This is a playoff game. This is big. First time in history for the Dash. You want to get down there and support Juan Carlos and the women. Back to Ebony Salmon. Is that something you want more out of her in the future, that you feel as a coach you can get out of her? More touches on the ball, being a little bit more a part of the buildup, back to goal play, things like that? Or are these possibilities you see and go, wow, if she can improve in some of these areas, she's going to be an even more dangerous striker?
Yeah, I think we can't forget with Ebony, you know, she comes from a different path. She didn't come obviously through the college system. So she's only 21. Like, she, in the American system, she will still be at college, and she really, she is in the England setup to play against the US in Wembley this week. And she's one of the, I don't have the data, but I think one of the top goal scorers in goals per minute in the league. But she is the youngest in the team with Paulina. You know, like, it is like our job or my job with the rest of the coaches is trying to help her to keep developing and don't let her just be comfortable with what she's doing, which is good, but then always push her to do a little bit more, because she's ambitious. She wants to be the best she can be. On top of that, she's a great girl. She's willing to learn, willing to work, and willing to listen. And I think it's our job to help her keep growing.
Juan Carlos Amoros joining us. He is the head coach of the Houston Dash, the interim coach. They split two games with Kansas City this year before Juan was in charge on the bench. The Dash 2-0 winners on May 8th, and then they lost 2-1 July 1st. So a little bit about Kansas City from your perspective and what you see in the way they play football.
Well, they're a dangerous team in transition. We know Kaiser and Hamilton up top. They are two players that can really create trouble, and they are very organized on the defensive side. So they know what they, you know, they got a clear style. It's obviously worked really well for them. I think they got like unbeaten for 13 games in this league, which is an amazing achievement. They maybe didn't start super good, but then they got that run that definitely is what got them in the playoffs. Even up to like 10 days ago, they were top of the league. You know? So they are a team that have, you know, they really know what they want. They really know what they do. And I think that's always, you know, credit to the coaches, the work they've been doing over there. And I hope it will be an exciting game and one that we can come on top of.
Kaiser, Labonta, they have 7 goals apiece. They got a good goalkeeper, A.D. French, Desiree Scott from the Canadian national team, among others. Are you expecting Sam Ewis to play in this game?
No, I think Sam is on a season-ending injury. I think she won't be back. Also, I think that, well, it's obviously known that Desiree Scott got sent off in the last game, which I got it because I want to play against the best. But at the same time, it's obviously a player that they normally is in their team, is in the lineup, so they will have to adjust something around that. And as you said, they got great goalkeeper. They got a backline that is good. They got some ace now, like, progressing a lot in her career, and you know, Labonta is getting goals and Kaiser, but the Kirsten Hamilton is a player that works. She doesn't stop working. She leads the team from the forward line with her effort. So they are a very dangerous team, and we need to make sure that we can control that, be ourselves. We'll focus a lot on what we're doing. Focus on how we're gonna play and try to keep being loyal to our style of play, and hopefully we can get access to the semifinal. No, in this case against Oil Rain in Seattle.
Houston Dash, Kansas City Current, October 16th, 4 o'clock, Houston-Dash.com for tickets. We're talking to the head coach, Juan Carlos Amoros. Juan, you know, you got a lot of time here now to train the team and get prepared for this game with a bit of a break. Is a lot of this about taking the pressure off a little bit around the playoffs, or does nothing really change?
It's always a weird one because it's an international break, so we have a lot of players that are going away, but we're still preparing. We've been here before. We've done it like already a couple of times since I've been here. And the rest of the players that are here, a lot of them will play in the game, and they need to compete for a position. We are trying to take care of every detail into the preparation to make sure it's the best it can be. And we will keep a close eye as well on the international players to see how they do. And And when they come back, then everyone will get together probably, you know, 3 days before the game, final details, and everyone will be super excited, not to play that game in front, hopefully, of a sellout PNC Stadium in Houston for the first time in the playoffs, and we can perform and make everyone have an unforgettable day, you know.
One, what's important in this singular game? It's single elimination. It's a single call. It's a single penalty kick, a sending off, one moment. The margins are so thin. What's most important in a single elimination, one-off game like this for you as a coach?
I think there is take care of the details. Like if any game that's important is on this one. I think that... You know, be very intelligent in how you manage the game, read what's happening. Important, don't go down to 10. For me, it's always been important, don't concede. When you play these games in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, it's important that you know, because I trust normally, you know, our teams to be good, like trust on the roster, trust on the team, make sure that our physical preparation is good, that we have the game plans, that we take care of every detail, that like the penalties, the PKs can be important. You never know what it's going to be, and that's the exciting part of this game. You try to take care of every detail and most importantly, work hard as a team on that defensive side and let our players express themselves on the football pitch. No, I'm very big about that. I think that I want my players to be brave on 1v1s, on combinations, on shots, and on that final moments, those situations, and on the ball, and be brave because they are able to. They know what to do. What we give them like the frame, and then they have to make the painting. No, you know, like they have to create that piece of art, and they are capable of doing it. No, we've seen it like. Week in, week out, we got the ability, so hopefully it can be a day where we do it.
Juan Carlos Amoros, we wish you the best of luck in the playoff game. Juan, you've been a great addition to the Houston soccer scene. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Glenn. It's always a pleasure, and hopefully we can chat again when we are preparing for the semifinals.
We definitely like talking football, you and me. There's no question about that. Good luck against Kansas City, Current Juan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
All right, it's Houston Dash, Kansas City Current, October 16th, 4 o'clock, HoustonDash.com, $7 tickets. There's finality here. This is a one-off playoff game. It gets you a game in the semifinals against OL Reign. And the next thing you know, you could be in the NWSL championship match. That'll do it tonight here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, thank you very much for being our presenting sponsors. You give John and his firm a call at 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, Daspit Law. com. For my producer, the one and only Andrew Carlson, a big thank you. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Soccer, at Soccer Matters GD, and the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters. Yeah!